Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the City Place Church Podcast. Please join me in a moment of prayer before we get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for the person listening to this prayer. I ask that you would help open their mind and their heart, and that you would speak directly to them through today's message. In the name of your Son, my brother, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, City Place Church. I am so excited that you are here this Sunday morning. I believe with everything within me that God has a word for you and I am completely locked and loaded and I'm ready. Are you ready is the question. Are you ready to hear what God has to say to you this morning? Are you open? Are you hungry? Is your mind, your spirit, your emotions, is it all ready? Because God is speaking and he has something to say to us today. I am going to tell you at the top of our time together that you will need your notes today. So if you haven't gone to cityplacechurch.com/notes, you're gonna need to go stop what you're doing right now. I will wait for you. And you need to go print off your notes. You need a copy of notes to accomplish what we need to accomplish today. You're gonna just have to take my word for it. There's some activities embedded in there. There's some things that will only make sense if you're looking at the notes. So stop what you're doing, go get the notes, and let's get rolling. Now, I'll give you a couple minutes to tee up exactly what we're gonna talk about. So if you need to go run, do that, access that, download it, go get it. Get a hard copy if you can in your hand, because as I say, God is speaking. So over the last couple of weeks, we have been diving into this series from Pastor Damon called Frequency. And I don't know about you guys, but it's been definitely challenging me. It's been honing in the skill of hearing God's voice. And there has never, ever, ever in the history of our time in our world, a time where we've needed to hear from our God more. No greater time than when we feel confused, than when we feel discombobulated, do we need to hear from God. Now, we need to hear from God every day. We need to hear from God in our maintenance times, but we need to hear. We get desperate to hear from God when things are in trouble. So let's get started this morning. Are you ready to hear from God? I said, are you ready to hear from God? Are you ready to hear from your God this morning? Can we pray? Father, I thank you for what you are ready to say to us. I pray that we would quiet our hearts, that we would still our minds, and that our spirits would be ready and aligned to hear what you have to say. God, will you be diligent to deliver even better than you've already prepared it in me, this message, so that your people can receive it. This morning we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, let's get rolling. So over these last couple of weeks, we've been talking about frequency, hearing the voice of God. The very first question that I have for you in your notes today is this: what does hearing from God look like in my real life? I want you to make this frequency series personal. So I want to know from you this morning, what has it been like? What will it take? You know, we're in the middle of 21 days of prayer. Many of you have been joining us. This is our final week as we kind of bring that plane down, as we land that plane and bring it down to a conclusion. But here's what I want to know from you this morning. What does this look like in your life? For me, so you make yourself personal at the center of this story. Does that mean that you in your real life must remove distractions? Does it mean that you've believed some lies of the enemy for some time? We talked about that last week, that the God is speaking, but the enemy is also speaking and we better be discerning. Is it that we've got a lot of noise? Right now you see that I am making one honorary appearance in the man cave where my husband has decided to put noise on the wall. But it's so representative of the noise in our life. Lots of messages, inundation, social media, scroll. A scroll marathon that gets into our hearts and makes us all anxious. I want to know over this 21 days and even in pandemic, tough question, are you finding yourself in the middle of COVID when we're supposed to be in lockdown busier than when this all started? Now, if you can dissect some of those things and maybe even answer yes to the busy test question, perhaps you find yourself going, God, I know I need to hear your voice, but hear my prayer as I choose to figure out and make this personal over what I must do to implement what I have already heard. And that is why the question is there. What does hearing from God look like in my real life? What must I do to implement what I've already heard? I don't need a fresh word from God. God has already spoken. What do I need to implement in my life? My second question for you this morning is why? Now, this is an interesting title, and it's going to lead right into, if I were able to give today's time a subtitle, I would call it this, Three Layers Deep. In just a moment, you'll know exactly why. But my second question for you on your notes this morning is, why do you want to hear from God? Now, it's a genuine question. It's not meant to be rhetorical. I really want to know why. You know, as pastors, my husband and I often, it's probably the thing that people bring up most often in small groups and in counseling formats, and they say, I feel like I can't hear God. I can't understand what God is doing or saying. I don't have the clarity that I feel like I need. I can't hear God. And so as we dig deeper, we understand that there's some things, there's some behaviors, there's some patterns, right? Same question that I asked you earlier. What are you willing to implement in what you already know? Oftentimes there's some gaps there, but the real question is, why do you want to hear from God? Do we want to hear from God because it's something that we kind of idolize, or that we feel like, well, God, if I hear from God, then I am going to get up and I'm going to magically make all of the right decisions in my life. I'm never, ever going to be embarrassed. I'm not going to be forsaken. I have a deep need for emotional stability, right? So here's my challenge to you this morning in asking the very genuine question, why do you want to hear from God? I want you to answer that question. I want you to take your notes and I want you to say, well, why? Think about it. Maybe some of you have never thought about it before. Why do you want to hear from God? And then as you answer that question, you ask why again. Well, let's say that I want to hear from God because I want clarity. And then you ask yourself the question, well, why do I need clarity? And you do that three times, in essence, making yourself three layers deep. You ask yourself the same question three times to try as an effort to get to the root system of what you're really after. See, my question may stop with, oh, I want to hear God, but then it's rooted in clarity. And then why do I need clarity? Because I feel like I'm spinning out of control with my options. When you get to the root question, when you get to the root issue, rather, of what's really happening as you ask yourself those questions in the prompts, you drill all the noise down until you get to the heart of the matter. And that is what we wrap our prayer around, and that is what we wrap our focus around. That's what we wrap the Word of God around as we begin to get the clarity that we are after. I wrote this in the notes, and this is one of your first blanks for you to fill in this morning, because my prayer has often been over time, as I have answered this process, this question, I've done the same work that you're doing this morning. As I have answered this question for myself, I am finding that I have often asked God and prayed for God to seek and to give me wisdom on what I'm doing. On the things and the choices that I need to make, and what my hand is set out to do. And I wonder if that's you this morning, if you would say, absolutely, I would spend the bulk of my time, I spent the last 21 days seeking God over what to do. And here's my challenge to you this morning. It's found in that first box, and it's your first fill in the blank. It says, Lord, breathe in me before you breathe on what I am doing, lest I crumble. I love this verse found in Job 33. Job is going through a very difficult time in his life, and he says, for the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. God, in all of his graciousness, breathes on humanity. He searches the earth, and he decides to give the very breath of himself. The Bible says in Genesis that he gave us his breath as humanity. Yet we ask God in our prayers, we go through 21 days, we go through the time of, I want to hear God, I want to hear God, I want to hear God, God, God bless what I'm doing. And we're not really after the breath of God, we're after the quick fix or the quick answers to what we're doing. I know you've heard this a lot of times, and I just want to repeat it again this morning. We are not human doings, we are human beings, and that means our ultimate prayer is, God, breathe in me first. Do something in me first so that I can adequately represent what you are doing for me. I wonder if you would be bold enough to switch your prayer this morning, to switch your framework this morning as we dive in, because I wholeheartedly believe that God is still ready to speak. But listen, he doesn't want to misuse his words and have us misunderstand his words to us by thinking in some way that it has to do as a gift for us. God would misuse his very breath if all we cared about is what we were doing and what God was doing for us and not what God was doing in us. This morning, I want to challenge you that the very breath of God is meant to come in you so that it can transform you first before you ever do anything. I was thinking about this as we talk about seeing God and seeking God, because that's really what the Frequency series has been about. It's been tuning our ear and bending our ear, coming out of our focus for being human doings to human beings. But that involves a certain seeking, a certain tenacity, a certain leaning in to what God is doing. And how do we do that? Over the last couple of weeks, we've had a lot of strategies and tactics getting in God's word and how we get in his face and how we remove people that would speak into our lives that have no authority, no ability, and shouldn't be there and are there to confuse us. But there is also three points of reference that we must understand in order to adequately see and hear the voice of God. And that is in three frames of reference. Let's roll into your notes. I hope you have them in hand right now. So it says, how do I seek to hear God? Well, we do that through what God has already done. And their first blank is this: I seek God in the past. I seek God in the past. Now, some of you would go, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I need to hear God today. And I stop you and say, no. In order to hear God for today, we got to look back to see what God has already done. I don't know how many of you are watching this morning, but if you're a parent, you'll be able to relate to this in just a few seconds. How many parents in the room have said something, right? You give an instruction only for the next day to have to repeat yourself. I know my kids are watching this morning, and so, you know, let that be the word of the Lord to you. There is nothing worse than a parent who has to repeat themselves over and over and over and over again. There is no part of my brain that understands that how when you close your eyes and go to sleep, you wake up and I am supposed to believe that you have now magically forgotten everything that I instructed you before. Oh, what do you mean I'm not supposed to do this? This is how you and I, as ridiculous as that is, and as frustrating as it is, this is exactly how you and I behave when we do not look back to what God has already done. So often in this day and age, people look and they say, you know, the Bible was written so long ago. Is it really applicable for what we're dealing with today? And I want to tell you, if you have that perspective, you haven't read the Bible lately. The Bible is God's breath that is timeless. There is no time stamp on it. In fact, what God has done, what he spoke, how he wove through humanity and all of the different people who contributed to this book, how he wove it all together through the blood of Jesus, is a timeless, priceless, learning tool for us that stretches all the way to us today. Now, while most of you are like, yeah, absolutely. And in your heart, you know that, you understand that. I want to ask you this morning, as you are seeking to hear the voice of God, as you are leaning in to 21 days of prayer, how much have you leaned in to what God has already spoken to you? You know, for some of us, myself included, it is the age-old sister act movie, right? It's not what has God done for you. It is what has he done for you lately? Come on, Janet Jackson. It is what has God done for you lately? We bring ourselves to the, no, I got to hear you today, but I need a fresh thing because this is different than the last thing. And God is saying, what have I already spoken to you? What promise have I already delivered to you? Have you gone to sleep and magically forgotten what I've already said? You know, in order to honor we must honor rather what has already happened, what he's already done, what he's already spoken, the prophecy you already received. We must honor those things to understand that he has already given us clarity. This is why, as difficult as it is, as busybodied as I am, I force myself to stop and to write down the words and the revelations and the different nuggets that I get on a daily, even weekly basis of what I am sensing from God, because I get amnesia. And please help me feel like I am not by myself today. It takes their constant, intentional remembrance of who God is, what God has spoken, and what I believe him to be. Because it is those things that help me in times of trouble. It is those remembrances that keep me motivated, that if God once spoke to me, he will speak to me again. If this was God's character before, this is still God's character today. It helps me when my mind and my emotions want to take over. It helps reset what God already said. The second frame of reference we must have, of course, as we seek to hear God, it's for our present day. So we have the past, and of course, we have the present moment. Now, scientists will often say that anxiety happens from one of two things. It can come from a rumination on past events, or an anxiety and anxiousness, a working up over what has not happened yet. It's our mind's ability to take us to a place of a what could be, what will be, I don't know, I need answers, I need clarity, right? And God is saying, I want you today to have satisfaction in this moment. If you will stop this noise, not the noise, but if you will stop this noise from going from the past and the future and sit and breathe in this moment and find satisfaction in me today in this moment, then I will give you the peace that you are after. I wonder how many of us are searching anxiously for the voice of God, but really we're wrapping our anxieties of the future in our prayer when God is saying, let's strip down the why. Why are you asking me that? And you do the three-layer test until you realize it's actually an anxiety for the future, and there's a contentment in your present that is the solution. The last frame of reference, as you've probably guessed, is we must seek to hear God in the future. And I wrote this in the subnotes. We must understand that the part that we ultimately play, the big decisions we need to make, who our relationships, our key relationships should be, these things are important to God. However, if we take and we zoom out, kind of like you've seen those cameras, right? They're really deep down in on something, really focused in on something, and then it zooms out where you can see the neighborhood and then the 10,000 foot view, and you go all the way out and it's the planet, and then you see Earth sitting over there by itself in the big sky, and you zoom all the way out, your perspective shifts. You go, wait, all I was thinking about was my square, my thing, my piece, and God is saying, I am so in love with you. I'm so attentive to your peace. I am so concerned about your peace, but I want you to zoom out a little bit, and I want you to understand the part that you play. It's so important, but I play a bigger part in all of humanity. And the part that I play has your role, the decisions you'll make, the things that you will accomplish and what you will do already taken care of. And that is why God is called both Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the end, because he's already sitting in our future. I said this, I have a part to play in the big story of history, but let's frame it this way. I have a part to play in the big story of his story, history. I have a part to play. And as I find contentment in my present, I will slip into my role, my unique role that nobody can fill for me right there in history. Now, with these three frames of reference, I want to take us quickly today to three tests that I believe will so shape our understanding of frequency, of hearing God's voice. We actually find these three tests evident in Scripture in three different places, and so we're going to journey very quickly today with John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is a familiar story for many of you. You know the story. You know who he was, Jesus's cousin. He is found there in the wilderness, known as the precursor of Christ, the one who comes before Jesus. And so John has three different opportunities in his life to really grapple and wrestle with the will of God and the voice of God and his role in history and what part he will play. And we will find him and intersect him and pull out all that God has for us. Will you turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 19 through 31? Again, we're going to read this very quickly. It'll be there for you on screen. John chapter 1, starting in verse 19 and going through 31. It says this: "Now this is John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was." This is John they were talking about. "And he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'Then who are you? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Finally, they said, 'Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' And John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'I am the voice of the one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord.' Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' And he said, 'I baptize with water,' John replied, 'but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.' And this all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel.'" We find John, and it's so interesting because John and Jesus are our blood relatives, and it's difficult for us to imagine what this scene must be like. But John the Baptist has been known to be a holy man, a man of God, a man baptizing people in the name of Jesus, right? Baptizing and creating people who are focused, diligent, people who are ready to go all in. And John's testimony is so interesting because it's his opportunity to be a blood relative to Jesus. And most people would be like, yeah, that's my cousin. That's my cousin. I know them. I've known him since forever, right? But it's so interesting to me that John says, "I myself did not know him." I'm in verse 30 or 31. "I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." What does he mean, "I did not know him"? What does John mean in this passage that he did not know Jesus? Of course he knew Jesus. He was Jesus's cousin. But John in this moment had to bring himself to a place where he could help himself and everyone else understand, "I am not him. I am not pretending to be him. I'm not trying to be all in and tight with Jesus. He is in a league of his own." And John had to pass his first test that you and I will have to pass as well in order to hear the voice of God, and that is the test of pride. John gives us this ability to hear from God and to understand that we are not in the same league with Christ. We are not in the same place. He is not us and we are not him. He is in a league all by himself. We are not in competition with Christ. Can I say that again? Because sometimes we feel like God in some way, somehow needs to understand us or come down to where we are or see about our business as though he owes us something, and we are not in competition for his story. We are not in competition with Christ, and John must pass the test of pride in order to hear the part that he must actually play. The second test, moving along quickly, that John needs to pass is found in a different spot. And so John is there doing his thing, and Jesus begins to come on the scene, and it radically changes. John has found his identity, has found his strength, he has found his voice in assisting and helping people understand and come back to God. But that is about to change. Join with me now in John chapter 3, verse 23 through 30. John 3, 23 through 30, and I will read it for you here. It says, "Now John also was baptizing at Annan near Salim, because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the man who is with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one who you testified about, he's baptizing and everyone's going to him." And to this John replied, "A man can receive only what is given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. And the friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. And that joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less." I love this because the momentum in this moment, this is the moment where it's not just fun and games anymore. John's whole identity is about to shift. The game has changed. The script has flipped. This is not okay anymore. Maybe this was cute at first, but this is what he had spent his whole life doing. He was preaching and teaching, and all of a sudden, with no notice, with no nothing, he knew that he was supposed to precede Christ. But in this moment, it was going to be put to the test. And that's all fine when somebody says, "Yeah, that's good. You're the number two." At some point, somewhere, it rises up in you like, "Well, why am I not the number one?" And this was John's same opportunity because Christ comes on the scene, as John already knew. He already expected it to be this way, but Christ shows up on the scene doing exactly what they were both called to do, and John has his second test. The second test that you and I must pass, and we're going to see John pass as well, is the test of jealousy. If you want to hear the voice of God, if you want the noise to go away, you must look inside yourself and uproot anything that would wedge itself and put yourself in competition with someone else. And so the second subpoint then is that I am not in, you are not in competition with anyone else. We're certainly not in competition with Christ, but we are also not in competition with someone else. If we really believe that God is big enough and bad enough and bold enough to put all of us on this planet, each of us with the breath of God and the voice of God and the plans of God inside, and every person is designed with their own purpose and their own destiny and their own walk and their own experience, then why do we need to try to run someone else's race? John understood this and said, "I am not the Christ." And so if the wind blows and if it changes and if the momentum shifts, it's okay with me. And we watch him in this moment. It's okay. It's okay to John that says, "I know my whole world is about to shift, but as long as Christ is in it, I'm okay with that." And I want to tell you this morning, hear me. It is okay if your momentum shifts as long as Christ is in it. We must pass the test of jealousy in order to hear the voice of God. One of the tools that I have often loved, it's one since I was in college, and you know I was just in college the other day, as my husband would say, he's only 20. But in college, they often use this tool, and you have probably heard of it. It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's the pyramid structure. It's found in your notes there for your reference. And Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a pyramid. At the very bottom is sort of our basic needs. It's the things we can't live without. It's air and water. We must have this or we die. Then the next rung begins with safety. And so those are the things like shelter, and you need, you know, psychological safety and physical safety. And so you can have this piece of the rung of the ladder. So yes, I'm alive, and then I must feel safe. And then as it advances all the way to the top, on the tippy top of the pyramid, is self-actualization. It's really stepping into purpose. It's being fully who you are, being completely and totally appreciative of who you are and what you have to offer. I suggest to you this morning, as we use this framework of the pyramid and getting through our safety needs and then psychological needs and esteem and respect and these kinds of things that are in the pyramid, again, it's in your notes there, that there is a parallel pyramid that we have as believers in the body of Christ. The pyramid, a parallel pyramid, is a spiritual hierarchy of needs. And one of the things that I actually am going to ask you to do is take your notes and flip all the way to the back. You will see a structure with three questions that says, where are we? What do we need? And why is that? Why am I taking this detour this morning? It is because that pyramid represents for us the three buckets, if you will, kind of the combination of many of those layers. Three buckets where you and I have to stop and realize, and maybe not my physical needs, but let's take it as a parallel to my spiritual needs. So my most basic things, the most basic things in my life, when I figure out what I am at my most basic state with God, what does that look like? What do I need? What kinds of rhythms, what kinds of disciplines do I need in my life? I need to fundamentally believe in my heart, accept Jesus as my Savior, right? This is on the bottom rung. I can't go in all deep with God and be questioning his existence or his goodness or his salvation, right? These are the things that are sort of on the basic needs. But then if I think through basic needs, so then what do I need in place to make sure that that stays safe? Well, that's a physical a discipline of reading the word and understanding God's word and understanding his promises. So if for every spiritual rung, there's sort of what does this mean in my life? And then there's a practical, this is what this must include. And that is your homework for today, as you can identify, because I can't give you your spiritual pyramid. I can certainly give you best practices. I can give you what this looks like from the Word of God, but you know your spiritual models. You know when you're growing in God, you know what it looks like to be scraping the barrel at the bottom, and you know what it looks like to ascend into your purpose and your destiny where God's voice is flowing freely in you. I'm going to ask you to lean into that homework this week differently than you have before, because my goal and my heart for you today is to make this personal. Now, why did I make this detour? Because we have to understand this basic concept of what it's like. See, in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I can be moving along, trucking along, ascending the pyramid, so to speak, only to be knocked all the way down to the bottom. So, for example, if I I had a disease and something took out, you know, maybe the way my body was functioning properly. Now that takes me all the way down to the basic stage of saying, well, my body has to function. It needs water. It needs food. But let's say for whatever reason, I couldn't drink. I couldn't replenish the water source in my life, in my body. Well, I can be as happy as I want. I can have as much love in my family as I want. I can feel as good about myself as I want, but it will bring me down to the bottom of the pyramid. It's sort of like somebody pulling the chair from underneath your bottom, right? You go crashing to the floor. This is what it looks like when you go crashing down to the bottom of your pyramid. And so I want to know, and the reason that I ask you to make it personal is because what does it look like for your pyramid? Here's why. You need to know when you're ascending, and you need to know when you're leaning into the voice of God when you are descending. You need to know what it looks like, what things are in place, what things are not in place when you're going down. Because oftentimes in our life, in our rhythm, we do have so much noise to cover up what's going on that we're just oblivious to the fact that we are spiraling fast. So what does it look like in your life? Well, this is what I wrote for you. It's found right underneath point three. So you go to your notes and find that. It says this, basic needs, meaning your spiritual basic needs now, basic needs revert us back to basic stages and basic behaviors. You see, I asked you, what does it take? What kinds of foundational things does this need? But it assumes that you have the tenacity, that you have the drive, that you have the focus, that you have the dedication to open up your Bible, to do the work necessary, to do the research, right? But what happens in a time where your soul is emaciated? What happens when there's a period of time where your heart, your spirit is not getting the nutrients that it needs? Well, nobody may know, but God knows. And when these things happen, your basic needs come back in. And as those basic needs come back in, we as people turn inward, meaning instead of facing outward, God, what do you have? How can I help? How can I serve? We go, I must make accommodation for me. We flip ourselves into survival mode. So let's look right now when John finds himself where the bottom is stripped out from him, the chair goes out, and he is stripped back down to his spiritual bottom baseline. What happens here? Turn with me to Matthew 11, 2 through 6. We find John in his final test, in his final moments, and we find him, unfortunately, at the bottom of his spiritual pyramid. What will happen next? Matthew 11, 2 through 6 says, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. You see, John, at this moment, Jesus was deep in the throes of his ministry, and John found himself in prison for doing what he did, which was preaching. It was literally the pre-shadow of what would happen to Jesus, that he would give his life for the message that he came to give freely. And John, earlier, as the precursor of Jesus, found himself in unfortunate circumstances, in prison, listening to Jesus, who could at any moment come in and send 10,000 angels to save him. And John sends his disciples. And do you hear the undertones here? Do you hear that he is crying out saying, are you the one? Did I put my chips in the right basket? Did I do this for nothing or help soothe my soul because I am at the end and the bottom of my rung? Can you hear John's agony? Can you hear him? He is no longer in La La Land. He is not enthralled with the people and in love. He is stripped down to his most basic needs as he is preparing to die. John had the opportunity, as you will have the opportunity, to pass his final test in order to hear the voice of God. See, to get that message from Jesus, to get and receive it in his spirit, and to know that what he had done and where he found himself, which was in prison, was totally worth it. He had to get over the test of disappointment. And you this morning will have to find yourself. You will have to fight yourself. You will have to dig out of the hole that you are in when you find yourself in the place of disappointment. And that is, what I see is not what I once expected. This isn't the life that I had imagined. This isn't how I wanted things to end up. This isn't the turmoil that I wanted to walk through. But I find myself here today. And God, P.S., where are you? John asked this question, and as Jesus responded, he responded by not answering John directly. He didn't say, I am the one to come. You know I'm the one to come, John. You know this. You know the prophecy that came to your mother and to mine when they were just teenage girls, and how the word of God was already in their bellies and they were jumping from the womb. You know the prophetic word that came through. He didn't quote back to him scripture, and he certainly didn't beat him up for having the question. But Jesus gave him the proof that said, I want you to know the lives you're touching. I want you to know the bigger story. I want you to be assured that the lens is zooming out. And although it may zoom out of your situation, you are not collateral damage. And this morning, I'm speaking to somebody. I want to tell you this morning that you are not collateral damage in God's story. But, this story, his story, is a bigger story, and you will make it through this moment if you can pass the test of disappointment. Because even in this moment, God is still speaking through all of the noise, through all of the swirls, through all of the doubts, through all of the moments, God is still speaking. I love, though, that John didn't try to fight this battle alone. He went straight to the source. He didn't hide it from Jesus. He didn't choose that he was going to walk away from Jesus. He didn't say, you know what? Forget you. I'm just going to stop preaching. I'm going to stop telling people about you. He brought Jesus his real disappointments. He brought Jesus the real feeling, the real emotion. Do you know why? Because John needed to hear the voice of God. And whether it was one that was going to be rooted in an ending that he would not have loved, or whether it was going to be something that would change his situation, he needed to hear the voice of God. Who are you this morning that needs to hear the voice of God in your disappointment? I speak to you this morning these words, and that is this: it is not time for you to quit in the dip. We will all have them. We will have things where you feel like you are on top of the mountain and you will feel like you are crawling and prying your way out of the pit. We all have dips, but it is not the time for you to quit in the dip. I feel the presence of God this morning. For some of you that you have decided in your mind, you've almost prepared the plan of what this was going to look like. The disappointment has rocked you, and you are going to quietly back away from this church thing. You're going to pull away from the community that God has given you and gifted you. You're going to go about your own way. You're going to take matters into your own hands. I am declaring to you today that it is time to lean into God and pass this test. You are fully able and fully capable and fully prepared to pass this test. John gives us these three examples of passing the test of clarity and jealousy and disappointment. He gives us the blueprint of how we pass these things of pride and putting it down and jealousy. And it's not about me, it's Christ's story. But then he gives us the blueprint of passing the test of disappointment. And no matter where you find yourself this morning in any of these three areas, we all find ourselves here at one point or another. I declare to you, you have what it takes to hear the voice of God and pass the test. There is one prerequisite this morning, and I'm going to pray now. I want to take a moment to pray for you. There's two types of people I feel strong to pray for this morning. The first of you, wherever you are, you find yourself, you would say, I am struggling with one of these three tests. I'm struggling with pride or jealousy or disappointment, and I need to hear the voice of God because I know I have what it takes to pass this test. Where you are this morning, I want to pray for you. Out of your mouth, not mine, your mouth, I want you to declare, Jesus, I have what it takes to pass this test in you and with you. You can make it through this season because if God is journeying with you, if he is breathing in you, then you can do what is necessary in the name of Jesus. Some of you, you hear me, you hear the words, but you know deep down inside as I'm talking about the breath of God and journeying with God and the basic needs and the spiritual needs, that you know that you are currently living a life that is not with Jesus at the center. And there's no way, friend, that you can call and use these principles and techniques and hear the voice of God and do great things and pass the test without him at the center. I know you're there, that you would say, I know that I either need to recommit who God is to me for real, for once and for all, or I've never done it before, Pastor. Show me how to do this. Friend, it's super simple this morning. I'm going to repeat a prayer. It's just a couple of sentences long, and it is intended to reset you if you have once known Christ, or to declare God who he is to you if you've never done it before. It's a simple prayer that just declares that Jesus, the Almighty Jesus, died for you, that he rose from the dead and he is seated watching you and cheering you on this morning and welcoming your future self into heaven. Will you repeat this prayer no matter which one you are? If you know that Christ needs to come back to the center of your life and you once knew him, or if you are doing it for the very first time this morning, the Bible says when you declare with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he is the one to save. It's such a simple process. Will you repeat this prayer after me this morning? Say, Father God, say, Jesus, I declare with my mouth freely that you died for me. I declare this morning that you rose from that grave in all power and in all strength. And on account of that, Jesus, I accept your salvation for my life. I thank you for writing my story as part of the greater story. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so excited for you today. No matter what decision you've made, I know that it takes guts and it takes bravery. It takes bravery to reset your life. It takes bravery and desperation. And I want you to know, as the first person who gets to speak into your life, that I am proud of you. The Bible says the angels are throwing a party on your account today, because where one person comes back to the Lord, they are throwing it down. So I am excited this morning and so proud of you. I want you to know, there's a full disclaimer, that it is difficult to do this thing called life alone. And especially as many of us are still sheltering in place, I am asking you, I am pleading with you. We are preparing soon in the coming weeks and months to launch our city groups, our small groups. We're also preparing our gatherings here locally. I am asking you to be a part of the body of the living church of Jesus. Will you let us know, though, who you are and what you did, even if you've committing your life and we know you? I still want to know what you're doing and the decision that you've made, because you are bad to the bone today. And I'm excited. Will you please submit to us the virtual connection card, and in it you can say, I accepted Jesus today. I accepted Jesus today, so that we can give you the resources that you will need for your journey. I am always so honored, so enthralled, so humbled that God uses us to speak and to deliver his messages to the earth. Thank you for leaning all the way in and doing the level 10 this morning, City Place. I love you with all of my heart. Now, before we go, we worship the Lord here in many ways. We worship it with our dedication, our prayers. We worship it with worship, our songs. We also worship the Lord with our giving. And we know this, church, we know this. You guys are so good. Our heart is to be outward focused, not inward focused. Why? Because inward focus means that we're way at the bottom of that level of the pyramid, right? We're only thinking about ourselves. We're only thinking about protecting what we have. That is not who we are at City Place. You guys have continually blown my mind. Every single time that we have sought to be a blessing locally, internationally, I mean, literally to the edges of the earth during this COVID process, you have been there. Why? Because you know that church is not about four walls. There's no secret that we are not in a church building today. We are in my husband's man cave. But you, the generous church, know this principle. You know that sowing and giving your tithes and offering faithfully has allowed us to send medicines for COVID, allowed us to be a blessing locally, allowed us to immediately bless after school care facilities immediately. When everybody was scrambling, you were a blessing. Well done, church. So we're going to join together now in a time of giving. And so we do this on a weekly basis, and we do this electronically, or you can do this, you know, old school. If you're sending something in, you can do it many different ways. But the point is this: we believe in honoring God with the first fruits of his tithe and offering. So I'm going to pray for you now, and that you can demonstrate this morning your generosity through your financial giving. Father, I thank you for your generous church. I thank you, Lord. Honestly, looking back in the past, I am so blown away, so honored, so thankful to be a part of a church that understands your word and lives by its principles. Thank you for giving us the heart of generosity for City Place Church and for this community. Thank you for allowing us to be a blessing to the edges of the earth. While the world was on freeze, your church was in motion. We are humbled and we are thankful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Whew. Now this upcoming Saturday, for the good of all, will be our final day of 21 days of prayer. And that means this week is your final hurrah. This is your last shebang to get what you need to get from God. I am honestly, fervently seeking the Lord on your behalf, but I am praying that you will do the work necessary to finish and finish strong. This upcoming Saturday at 8 a.m. on Facebook Live, we are looking for you. We do Facebook Live on Saturday mornings. We have just throughout this 21 days of prayer. We pray together, we worship together, we have taken communion in the past together, but I'll be looking for you this Saturday morning as we tie a little bow on all God has said and done, and I am praying that you will just forcibly hear God this week, and I'm looking forward to seeing you. So Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, make sure that you are there and also subscribed to some of the YouTube and Facebook channels so that you can get the information you need. All right, church, I can't wait to see you in just a few minutes. Have a wonderful, powerful, amazing, God-filled, God-breathed week. And I'll see you Saturday morning. Love you.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope that you've been encouraged by today's message. Stay connected by subscribing to the City Place Church podcast, following us on Instagram, checking us out on Facebook, or by visiting our website, www.cityplacechurch.com. Enjoy the rest of your day.